hello everyone. Thanks Johnny for your little bit of an overtop introduction, but nice to hear. So before coming to Study Week, obviously I wrote down this talk, and I didn't actually write down much of an introduction because I thought Study Week's such an awesome place. So all the friendships that you see happen, and I banked on in the first day and a half seeing some great moment of friendship that I could use as an introduction. And something comes to mind, but it's not that good of an example, but I've got to roll with it now. So it was in the games day today, and it was in that maze, like that game where there's that maze and there's the mouse traps on the ground and you're blindfolded. So when our team came to that, I put my hand up and said, all right, I'll be the blindfolded walker. So I had to think really carefully about who would be my eyes, you know, who would be my guide on that treacherous walk. So I looked around, I had to pick someone trustworthy, and I thought, I'll pick Sam York, you know, he's a good guy, he's a nice friend, and he'll be there for me. And he was rapt. He was like, thanks so much for thinking of me. He's like, gave me a bit of a hug. He's like, we'll do this together. We'll get through it. I'm there for you. And I thought, this is going to be great. So I put the blindfold on and put my right leg up in the air. He's like, yep, keep coming. And he's like, a little bit to the right. Now bring it down, a little bit to the left. And I put my foot down, bang, straight on a mousetrap. And I thought maybe that's just a once-off joke, but by the time I got to the end, I'd collected most of those mousetraps. So Sam York's not the greatest friend going around. Bit of an average guy, but so that's not not to do. but it is amazing to think right now that our Father in heaven is actually looking down on this hall. And he's looking down on each one of you sitting in your seats right now. He knows that all your bags are unpacked in your rooms and that you're here for an entire week. And he must be so happy to know that even though we live in a world filled with so much stuff, like Luke talked about in his exhort today, like there's so much stuff and distractions out there that can sometimes seem so much more important or so much more fun, that we've all decided to take a week of annual leave or school holidays or uni holidays to be at a week that is all about reading and talking about his word, singing and praying to him and having a great time together. And no matter what reason that you've come to Study Week this year, if you really throw yourself into this week, it can be one of the best and most valuable weeks of your life. Most people who come away from Study Week say that they've got two highlights. And the first highlight is one that sounds crazy to all the people at work and in the world back home. And the number one highlight would be the Word of God. And it's sad to say that I'm not someone who, I would like to say I read the Bible every day or tried to, but I definitely don't do it every single day. And when you come to a week like this, where you're reading and talking about God's word and singing and praising him for an entire week, it has such a massive influence on your life. And it will no doubt, if you throw yourself into all the discussion groups and the talks, it'll be your number one highlight of this week. The number two highlight that a lot of people have is the friends that you've made and the old friends that you've reconnected with and the memories that you have in your team groups throughout the week. And friendship is the special gift that our God has given us on these weeks because he knows how important it is for us to have friends and companions on the road to his kingdom. So why is friendship so important? If God's given it to us, it must be a really important thing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12, that's four verses, and in those four verses he gives us four reasons why it's so important to at least have one friend in your life. So verse 9, that's the first one, reads, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labour. So one reason that our Father wants us to have friends in our life is because he knows we're going to enjoy life so much more. And like he said in that verse, when we work on something with a friend, we're going to get so much more done too. We're going to have so much a better reward for the labor that we have when we're involved and sharing it with other people. And we all know what this is like. Like maybe if you've built like a deck in your backyard and you've got your friends over to help and you get it done and you look at it and you're rapt that you did it all together. Or if you're working on a committee, like this study week is amazing how it goes together, and sometimes see all the little details and how today worked with all those teams all moving around. And that committee put on such an awesome study week, and they wouldn't be able to do it if they all weren't working together on it. Or maybe you're studying something for school or at home, and if you share that with a friend, not only are you going to have a better chance of getting it done, but you're going to have a much better time doing it as well. Because when you do things totally on your own, it can get pretty lonely, can't it? Like I was thinking about today, like today was a brilliant day doing all those activities and I had an awesome time doing it. And I thought, imagine if you did that day, like today, totally on your own. Like if you went to your room, like got a little, like I'm in blue team, I wore a blue hat, didn't want to go all out. And I came out and there's the four pools, but I'm there by myself. And so I got all my keys and like, yeah, did all the activities and like made myself up into a mummy and ran into the quadrangle, won the competition, so that would have been good. And then, yeah, packed it up and just thought, gee, that was a ripper day. It's just, like, I reckon the reason that it was a lot better is because there was a few others there to enjoy it with. So that's one reason why God wants us to have at least one friend in our life. His second reason is in verse 10, which reads, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." So the second reason that God wants us to have a friend is because he wants us all to be in the kingdom. He wants everyone in these four walls here tonight to definitely be in his kingdom. And he wants all your friends and families at home to be there as well. And he knows, like he talks about in the Bible, like walking on a road to the kingdom. And like going to camps like this, that is a step forward on that road to his kingdom. But he knows that at times there's going to be, well, at times we all will, but there's definitely going to be people that will fall off that road from time to time. And he wants others to be there to pick them up. Because the world around us can get pretty full on, can't it? Again, like in Luke's talk tonight, this morning. There's so many distractions. The world's, it's always drilling us to, you know, achieve your dream, like buy more stuff, like get this latest thing, move up the ladder at work, get the highest score at school, like, and it just pumps you full of that every single day. And it's just making this sort of fake foundation to, you know, say, just build your life on. And the world says that if you're not doing this, then, you know, you're lost, you're wasting your time. And like, it can affect you for sure. And sometimes it can be pretty hard to focus on the big picture, like that new Jerusalem. And I'm sure it's happened to all of us. I know it's definitely happened to me from time to time. And we definitely would know someone who would have fallen into these traps in their life. You know, when life just gets too tough and you just sort of just drop the ball. Like you might start just going to just a couple of parties with friends at school instead of hanging out with your friends at the meeting. And, you know, just having a couple of drinks with them and it all seems okay. But those are little bad decisions that can just walk you off that road to the kingdom. But like those things can be pretty easy to notice, but it can even be much more subtle things, things that you don't think are too serious at the time. Like maybe you're getting stressed at work at school. Maybe you've seen a friend who's getting really stressed at school and it becomes all that they can think about. Like maybe they've got to study for a certain mark to, like, they've got to get this certain mark so they can get their certain subject at uni to get the exact type of job that they want. And there's nothing wrong with trying to do that. But maybe they think, oh, you know, I'll just skip it, just one or two Wednesday night classes, maybe one every second Wednesday, and I won't go to youth group this week just because I've got to do a little bit of extra study to get this mark. Seems like a little decision, and as soon as exams are over, I'm back, like I'm back involved. And then maybe they start sleeping through a few Sunday school lessons and maybe not coming to the meeting just because they've got to, you know, make sure they get enough sleep before Monday, before another big week ahead of studying at school. And before you know it, these little weeks and these little decisions can turn into months. And before you know it, I'm sure you could maybe think of someone in your life that you just don't see as much as you used to because they're doing other things. Their focuses are in other areas. And God tells us that this person has actually fallen into like a big dark hole and they haven't realised it. But he also says that luckily for that person, they've got one or two people that notice. One or two people, like one or two friends that they've built up over the years who see that their friend has made a few bad decisions and are there to help them. And suddenly that person who's lost and struggling through life feels their mates like grab onto their arms while they're in that hole and pull them out and not let them go. You know, like maybe it'd be something like a phone call or inviting them out for a coffee or for lunch, or just honestly building up the courage to tell their friend that they love them and that they're a little bit worried about where they are in their life and to remind them that the kingdom is definitely coming and that it could come at any minute, and they all want to be there together, these friends. And it's definitely worth it if you do it. It can be an easy thing to think, oh, no, I'll leave it another day, another week before I say anything. But it's definitely worth it because not only have you helped someone, which God loves to see, but maybe one day you'll be in that exact same situation. You may be just starting to do a few little bad habits that you don't even realise, and you're slowly walking off that road and you'll feel a gentle hand on your shoulder and you'll turn around and see it's that same friend. That friend that you helped only a little while ago, and he's built up the courage to come up to you and remind you of the road that our Father wants us to take. And if we all do that to each other, we will definitely all be in the kingdom together. So friends are there to support us when we fall. That's God's number two benefit. So verse 11, the third verse, reads, "Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone?" Now, this is definitely true in a physical sense. I'm sure maybe you've been camping before with your friends and you've got a tent that's way too small and you've gone in winter, which is a bad decision because it's really, really cold. And before you know it, you're sleeping a lot closer to your friends than you ever thought you ever wanted to or you even think is okay. Because it's really warm and you wake up in the morning and you go sort of separate and start kicking the footy or something, just do the manliest things you can think of just to forget about the night that you just had. I hope that someone else has experienced that. So it's true in a physical sense, but it is ultimately very true in life. Because sometimes life can get pretty cold, can't it? Like tragedies can happen in our lives. Maybe like a sad family breakup or a terrible illness that's hit you or a family member or a friend, or the passing away of a close friend or relative. And at these times, life can feel very empty and very, very cold. And I've never been through much like this in my life, but there's definitely people in this room tonight that are going through some very sad things, whether we know it or not. Things that are so sad that they might doubt that their life will ever really warm up for them again. But people who have been through things in this, been through tough times like this in their lives, will honestly tell you how much a hug or a phone call or a bunch of flowers or even just a shoulder to cry on can warm them up in a time of trouble. And that's really what friends are for. A friend doesn't have to have the perfect words to say or the answer to the problem. And they definitely can't make the circumstances go away. But the fact that you're there and that you're with them and that you're present in their life can just be a massive answer to your friend's prayer, more than you'd ever know. And it can really start to just put a little bit of warmth back into their heart that they thought would never be warm again. So that's the third reason why God thinks it's a great benefit for us to have a friend and to be a friend. In verse 12, he's fourth. It says, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken." So along with the similar idea like we had of the friend falling off the road, God is telling us that friends are there for support, and that if we have him at the center of our friendships, it can be an almost unbreakable bond. And I think a good parable that I think of for this one is that one that Jesus gave, and that's the parable of the sower. Most of us know that parable really well. The seed that was planted on the ground that loved God and was ready to learn, the seed was planted and it grew strong and the roots grew deep. And through rain, hail and shine, because of the great foundation that plant had, it remained alive. So this made me think of a story at work that I had the other day. I had to just dig a trench through this garden bed, and I thought, that's going to take me about 5 minutes. It was a garden bed full of plants. And after about 5 minutes of digging, I suddenly realised that I was absolutely gone. Like, this was going to take me about 2 hours because all these individual plants had all grown, their roots had grown deep, but they'd also grown into each other and connected and interwoven, which you'd never know from the surface. So I'd go to pull out one plant and the five plants around it would hold it down. And it just made me think that all of us in this room can be like that garden bed. If we build our friendship on the hope and the principles written in the Bible, and we all support each other, then we'll have a really strong, under the surface connection that can keep us together until the kingdom is here and forever after that. And if you're sitting there thinking, you know, I would love a friend like that, but I don't really fit in. Like, I've tried, I don't have that much in common with others around me. Or maybe you're in a bit of a different age group that you think's a bit odd one out. Or you just got completely different circumstances of life that you think others wouldn't understand. Or maybe you just feel like you don't fit in. Then remember that a friendship that has God at the core can transcend age or background or circumstances. And there's an awesome example of this in the Bible. Can anyone call out a great friendship in the Bible? David and Jonathan, heard that about 7 times. So that was the one I was thinking of. So that's really good. David and Jonathan. Everything was against the friendship of David and Jonathan. Like, we know that Jonathan, he was the heir to the throne. His father was the king of Israel, and Jonathan was next in line. He had all ahead of him until God took the kingdom away from their family because of the disobedience of his father. And God gave it to a young man named David. So Jonathan had every reason not to like this new heir to the throne, because he was taking away what he had grown up looking forward to and planning his whole life for. And to add to that, there was also a really big age gap between these two as well. Jonathan was probably about 40 and David was about 18. So to put that in perspective, it's sort of like Auntie Trish Mansfield. She's about 38, 39-ish. And Olivia Wollstonecraft, my sister-in-law, she's 18. So if you want to think of David and Jonathan, Annie, Trish and Olivia. And also, I think Jonathan was probably a pretty lonely guy who was really praying for a close friend. And in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, we actually see the reason why this friendship worked. Chapter 18, verse 1, is when David, he's just defeated Goliath, and he's in front of Saul and Jonathan and other people in the palace, and he's describing why he went down and fought Goliath and why he defeated him. And he obviously told them that it was because of his faith in God to save Israel, and that he knew that with God's help, it was all going to go well. And we read in that verse that when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So when Jonathan saw this young man's love for God, he felt an instant bond for him. And he takes it a step further than that. In verse 1 to 4, these are some little snippets of verse 1 to 4 about what Jonathan does. It says, Jonathan was knit with David. Jonathan loved him. Then Jonathan made a covenant with him. And Jonathan gave David his robe, his garments, his sword, his bow and his girdle as a gift. So if you're searching for a friend, Jonathan's a great example to just do what Jonathan does. You find someone that shares a love for God like you do, and you put time and effort and commitment into building and growing that friendship. It doesn't have to be someone that you necessarily click with straight away, or you laugh at the same jokes, or you've got the same experiences of life. If you find someone that has the same passion for God and for the kingdom that's coming, and you put a lot of time and effort into that relationship, you could, like David and Jonathan, you might experience the most unlikely of companions being your greatest support in your walk to the kingdom. Proverbs says it's like you can have a friend that's closer than a brother. So, in conclusion, Study Week this year is a perfect place to start building these friendships together. I've personally seen the effect it can have on an individual's life. And it was actually in Study Week 2010. And I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning him. I'm doing it anyway. But my brother Brad, who's here, for a few years in his life, due to many different circumstances, he wasn't coming along to any Christadelphian things at all. You know, wasn't into the Bible, and his life was just in a completely other area. And I used to really worry about it and think, oh, you know, if the kingdom came back, you know, today, you know, what would happen to Brad and things like that. So my dad one day, like Study Week 2010 was coming up, and he just booked Bradley in. And like me, my dad and Leish, we couldn't believe it, but he just said, yeah, sure, why not? I'll come to that, just see what it's all about. I'm pretty sure Leish burst into tears or something as soon as she heard it, which is really rare. Like, that's when we knew that it must be, yeah, a pretty serious thing. But you know, like, maybe you've experienced this in your life, like maybe you, like when you've, if you've invited someone from school to come to a Bible class or something, suddenly you notice everything that happens that night. Like, you notice the prayers, you notice how good the talk was, like how nice the singing sounded, what the activities were, and you're watching them the whole time out of the corner of your eye, you know, where they are. And that was what it was like when Brad came to Study Week. I was onto it. And what you'd also notice is the people that, just say, like when I saw Brad standing by himself, the people that would just come up and speak to him. And when, like, seeing that from the outside in, you absolutely loved what that person was doing. You loved them for seeing someone that they didn't know who was by themselves and walking up to them and introducing themselves and saying hello and starting to build a little bit of a connection. And they probably just thought that they were being nice and just doing a nice thing. But because of those sort of conversations and how good this week can be, like, I've got to have Brad then at 2012 Study Week and now 2014. And this could happen to anyone else's brother or sister or friend or anyone that they know. So our Father in heaven, he wants to see us really get into this week, to learn from his word, to laugh, to cry if we need to, share things with each other, to support others and be supported. You know, shout your friend a coffee or a hot chocolate at the cafe. Talk to the person who's sitting next to you, like a point about Abraham after a study group. And really look out for the shy and lonely people or the people that don't necessarily know anyone. Because if we all do that, we will all be in the kingdom with our Father, everyone who's in this room. And we'll also be with our Lord and friend, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he told us in John chapter 15, verse 12, he told us that greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's exactly what he did for every single one of us here. And he went on to say, you are my friends if you do my commandments. And in verse 15, he says, I have called you friends. So he can't wait to see us in the kingdom. So let's make sure that together we all build our friendships together so we can all be there to see him as well.